And we're back again, sharing the burden live here in the studio at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.ca. And by the way, if you're looking for us anywhere on there, especially if you go 102.9 FM, Stouffville will be your key, because there's a few 102.9s throughout the globe there. So we're back and we're talking about the value of our program, where we're going, where we were, why it started, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, as I put a list together this morning, that we'd talk a little bit about, you know, the reason for it all. And that really, it's twofold, because I'm the only one who can talk about this part, because I was the only one around at that time. But what I had in mind when Sharing the Burden was started was kind of like an agency that would spend a little bit of time teaching the philosophy of 12-step to anyone who would listen, really. And that was great. And the idea was, I would get them into a situation, we'd meet, and to the best of my ability, I would introduce them to 12-step and have them hang around long enough so I thought they had a bit of a handle on it. And then I would direct them to existing 12-step philosophies, wherever they were, and such as NA for Narcotics Anonymous, and AA for Alcoholics Anonymous, and GA for Gamblers, and so on and so forth. And that was a good deal, and we still do some of that. As a matter of fact, we do it quite often, but we do it from a bit of a different angle now. We meet regularly, and of course we've gone into the institutional area, especially jails, and found a great deal to do in there. But the other end of it is that we now, instead of just referring people come to us, and we have a little more of a spiritual dimension than most 12-step philosophies. And all that means is, number one, that the philosophy came from scriptural principles, mostly from the Bible, and the whole philosophy, doesn't matter where it went, that's where it started. So we talk a lot about the roots and where it came from, and how that works in today's society, how we can apply a philosophy that, in a sense, is as old as the hills in many ways, and make it work for today. The first answer to that, of course, was that the 12-step had a recovery rate in the 80s and 90% in the 1930s, and now, like many who claim great strides in the recovery industry, we're probably down to like 10%, in a good area. So, what happened? Well, one of the things is, like everything else, people keep changing things to make what they believe in their minds to be a better situation, but the original one wasn't broken, if you know what I mean. So I don't know if you go by it, but the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, it kind of applies here. And when you're getting that kind of return on your investment, if you're into recovery and you're getting 80-90%, do you think you really have to do a lot of changing? So anyway, a lot of things changed over the years, and it lost its oomph somehow. And the reason we started being successful, I think, is because we went back more to the roots, it built our philosophy around the original scriptures and worked them as though they were the today's way rather than the way many, many, many years ago. And to my knowledge, what we do, and we don't have great exposure, and there's a lot of ways we need to grow, but wherever we go, we see a degree of success. And I'm not blowing my horn or anybody else's here, it's just true. And what we do is exactly what we just said. We share that way. We allow and teach everybody to be able to share that way and to spread that kind of a word and an aura when they put a meeting together, and it just works. And we believe the answers, because we're not giving them to people. If anything works, the spiritual dimension must be working, because, neither Peter or myself or Jay or anybody else is telling people what they need to do anymore. Yet they find out what they need to do, and it seems to be the real deal. Just like coming on here and saying, well, we don't rehearse or anything like that, for the simple reason that we want to be in the moment, at the moment and live then, because you know, now is only now.
Well, Scott, I'm just looking at today's step. Sharing the burden, it's based on the 12 steps, and each month is a step. So today is October 29th, so we're step 10, day 29, and talking about the spiritual aspect, there's a verse, let us not neglect our meeting together, some people to do, but encourage one another. And that's what I like about sharing the burden. You just come and no one judges you. You just talk about everything, and going into the jail is so rewarding, because we're not there to judge anyone. We're just there to help people and let them talk to us. And it's just, like you mentioned a minute ago, it's so rewarding. And yeah, the whole spiritual aspect is so great. It's been great for me, and this understanding that God's in control of everything. It's taken me a little too long to understand that, but yeah, but now that I'm an old man, I look back over my life and God had a plan for everything. You know, a lot of times when you're going through it, you don't really see it, but yeah,
that's a great part of it. The fact that the agenda's not there, but a format that's always used is just used time after time, and regardless of the topic on the table, what happens doesn't come from, you know, because we don't give advice, so nobody in the room can be attributed, you know, nobody can attribute any of the results to anybody in the room. And that is, for me, so powerful, in that when we truly recognize our powerlessness, which is what the first step talks about, then we find freedom, you know. And I think to the degree we relinquish that false sense of control, to that degree we thrive on the other end, you know, and we're more comfortable, you know, with whatever, you know, whatever results of anything are a lot easier to take with that attitude that, well, I never was really in control, you know. You know, everybody's trying to tell me I can do this and I can do that, and he can do this and she can do that, but, you know, short of a spiritual response from somewhere, I can't do anything, you know. And now that I accept that, I don't take blame for anything either. I figure, you know what, it doesn't mean it's okay, but for some reason I was destined to make a mess that day and do this that day and that another day, and it just, you know, yeah, I have free will, but, you know, there's a power so much greater than me that power knows what I'm going to do with that free will. Otherwise, that power wouldn't be a real power. It would be baloney, you know? Like what would your almighty God be like if he was part-time? You know, like, it doesn't work, you know?
And the thing is, I don't want to criticize anyone, but I was brought up in the church, and a lot of them kind of got off the point of what Jesus was trying to teach. You know, and I was judged so much, like, oh, wear a suit, get a haircut. But, like, today's verse, encourage one another. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Some people do, but encourage one another. So it's not how you look, it's how you behave. And like Jesus hung out with all the, well, sinners, I guess, and prostitutes and whatnot. And well, I'm a bit of a cynic and everything else, but I used to say, like, if the people Jesus hung around with showed up at our church, they wouldn't let them in, you know. Anyway, yeah, sorry, so I'm getting off topic, yep. But yep. It's just speaking, getting back to the jail ministry, that's why it's just so rewarding. You know, it's hard to explain, but Well, I certainly recommend anyone who's interested at all to join up for that.
There's nobody who can't do it, eh? Who cannot do it. I mean, it's like, it doesn't require an IQ, but it results in an EQ of, you know, what I call emotional intelligence, EQ. Amounts to a greater EQ over a period of time, and if your emotional side of things is stable, then you're able to maximize the IQ, whatever you were given, and get the max out of who you are, you know. And
well, it's, I think, funny, you know, it's funny how you say anyone could do it. Like, I usually go in with my wife, and we have totally different backgrounds.
Yeah.
I, believe it or not, slipped away from the church for a few years, and may have done a few things that the police found it necessary to arrest me for. But my wife is just such a great person.
Yeah.
Right? She just goes in loving everyone, and I go in, I love them, but I can say, hey, look, I've been a bad boy, right?
Yeah.
But God's forgiven me, and I'm not judging you people. It's just, anyway, I know I'm talking around in circles, but it's just sharing the burden seriously is the best thing I've ever been involved with. And I want to thank Scott Duncan for starting this, and for him personally inviting me to a meeting. He saw, you know, I was...
Actually, my wife was instrument in getting Peter to come to us. He thought it was didn't sound like a very good idea.
I thought it was like, you know, you had to be addicted to something. And and I remember I rolled in the first day and I said, you know, I don't know if I should be here. Like, I don't really have any drug or alcohol addiction. So Scott hands me this sheet, you know, with like 30 things on it, what they talk about. Oh, yeah, well, okay, I have a couple of those problems.
Yeah, it's neat how people come to it, but in the end, like I say, you learn how to express in a place where you can express things you probably wouldn't express anywhere else. And, you know, I think an expressionless man is a man with baggage that's never going to go away, so... You know, you want stuff out of you, you got to share it somehow. You got to bring it out. You got to talk about it.
And to be able to share and know it's not going to be repeated.
Yeah.
And maybe to talk about, oh, some relationship problem or whatever, you don't feel comfortable actually going to that person.
Yeah.
But you can talk to other people about what you're going through.
Yeah.
And it just... It's just great to talk about things.
And isn't it interesting, though? You can say you can share whatever you want, and no one's going to tell you what to do with it. You know, and yet it's freeing. You know, like, people don't realize until they do it that they found a new freedom that they couldn't have found in another room, because you open your mouth anywhere else and, Mom, why don't you do this? Should do that? Well, what? Well, try this, try that, you know? And yet you get the freedom you need, and often as not, you get the healing you need on that thing. Did you notice that the title of today's...
Healing Fellowship.
Healing Fellowship. I thought, man, that was appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, listen, folks, before we take another break, I just want to mention that we started talking about the reason for the whole deal and sharing the burden, that is. And, you know, originally it was a referral service. And then, actually, my wife at one point said, well, I think we need to offer, you know, other people should be able to come and do this like we do. And so we went to a church 10 years ago that was the Olive Branch, and they graciously let us in, you know, gave us free room and board and promoted us and helped us along the way. And we really appreciate that. But that's 10 years ago or 11 now, I'm not sure. But... you know, from that we moved heavily into the jail ministry. But on June 8, 2012, my son Sean died of an overdose of fentanyl. And in that, folks, anybody who's lost anyone like that, or especially a child, you know, and I'm not going to even try to express or explain it, what that does. But But I knew immediately, within minutes, that or hours, we'll say anyway, that somehow this was pivotal. I mean, for obvious reasons, but it was pivotal in the life of Sharing the Burden, because he had been not only instrumental in getting it going. I mean, he's the reason for the whole deal. I would have never been around 12-step in of any form, you know, whether it was for me or for him or anyone else, unless he had these addictive problems that forced me to learn a lot, as well as you know, dig into who I was. And I found out, you know, I could be as easily sucked into a problem as he was. I was just very fortunate in a lot of ways. But anyway, it was pivotal in that I knew then this fentanyl thing, something had to be done about it, and it had to be done now, and it had to be shared. It had to be shared big. It was killing people all over this world, and continues to do so at a rate most of you don't have any idea about. We go into rooms and jails where 12 out of 15 have overdosed on fentanyl, been brought back to life, sometimes up as many as 20 times. So, you know, if you see the seriousness of this, you'll want to know if there's something you can do. I hope you will. So anyway, with that, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll carry on from there. So, for now, see you real soon, and happy minute.